Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
A couple days ago, I did the video about the situation where the former governor of Illinois filed a lawsuit to try to get himself back eligible to run for office. And I pointed out that the opinion written by the judge tossing his lawsuit was one of the most scathing opinions I'd ever seen. And it included a quote from Dr. Seuss. And in the title to the video, I said, most scathing opinion I've seen in a long time, something to that effect, and even quotes Dr. Seuss. I had a couple people get upset because the Dr. Seuss quote was at the end of the video, which was the end of the opinion, too. But the Dr. Seuss, to me, was not the highlight of the opinion. It was the scathing language the judge wrote where he was just ripping on the guy going, no, you're wrong. This is not right the way you're doing this. So Dan sent me a note yesterday, said, Steve, check this out. This has got to be one of the weirdest cases of all time. And there's a bunch of things making this case very weird, but this was filed yesterday in the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals. And in the Sixth Circuit is where I reside. I've filed stuff with the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals. It's been a little bit of a while, but this is obviously where I practice. But this case is so strange. It's only 4 pages long, the opinion, and this will blow your mind. So there's a person who's the administrator of an estate suing a county as well as some police officers, or a police officer and the department they work for. And it says, on appeal from the U.S. District Court for the Eastern District of Tennessee, opinion. So this is an opinion being handed down. And it says, this case arises from a traffic stop that ended like no other of which we are aware. A deputy stopped this woman, suspecting that the window tint on her car was too dark. By the end of their encounter, they were discussing religion, which led to the deputy baptizing the suspect in a lake. And I could end the story right there. And you go, wait, what? Cop pulls a woman over, goes, your window tint's too dark. As they're discussing that, religion somehow comes up. And he says, have you ever been baptized? And she said, no. And he said, in essence, well, how about this? Instead of giving you a ticket for your window tint, let's go down to the lake there and I'll baptize you. She said, okay, that'll get me out of the ticket, sure. So the woman brought suit claiming that the officer had violated her First and Fourth Amendment rights. Oh. Now, she gave deposition testimony, but then she died. Now, she died, and they point out, in circumstances unrelated to this case. So being baptized didn't kill her, but she's no longer with us. The administrator of her estate continued the suit, which they can do on behalf of the estate. So the officer sought qualified immunity against the claims, which the district court denied. And that officer then filed an interlocutory appeal, which is what this is. Court here says we dismiss the case for lack of jurisdiction. So an interlocutory appeal, for lack of a better explanation, is one that is taken earlier than an appeal that's taken at the end of a case. So a traditional case goes like this. We have a trial. I lose. I file an appeal where I ask a higher court to say either I get a new trial or we're going to spin this award around because there was a major mistake done at trial. However, there are things that happen during trial or during legal proceedings where somebody can go, I'm not going to wait till the end of the trial. I want this resolved now. And interlocutory appeals aren't even necessarily something you're entitled to. But you can ask a court, will you please hear this as an interlocutory appeal because this issue is so important to the case. And courts tend to frown on interlocutory appeals because otherwise cases would take forever if people just kept filing appeals like on every single ruling during a case. But there's some times where they really do make sense. But suffice it to say that when the qualified immunity was denied, the officer took it up on an interlocutory appeal. And the Court of Appeals said, no, we don't have jurisdiction over that. Now, their lack of jurisdiction is not something they're terribly clear about explaining, but the point is they're saying, no, we're sending it back down to court for trial. So the traffic stop occurred back in 2019. During the stop, the person in the car told the officer that there was, in fact, marijuana in the car. So the officer asked her to step out of the car, searched her, and placed her in handcuffs as he searched the vehicle. While this was taking place, they began to discuss religion. And the officer asked her if she wanted to be baptized. Now, she expressed some hesitation, but according to her testimony, she agreed to be baptized after the officer said he would only write her a citation and that he would speak on her behalf in court if she agreed. So apparently he's going to ignore the marijuana. She testified she was afraid of going to jail. They drove to a nearby lake where the officer baptized her. For those who don't know, presumably they both stepped into the water and he took her and dunked her completely under the water and stood her back up again and said, "You're baptized." It's unclear to me what power or rights he had to do that within any given church or exactly what he thought he was accomplishing by doing that. But she says that all she was trying to accomplish was getting out of a ticket or getting out of the citation. So the woman then sued the man and others under 42 U.S.C. 1983, alleging, among other things, that baptism violated her First Amendment Establishment Clause, which is a religious clause, to be free from religious coercion, and her Fourth Amendment right against unreasonable seizures, because she says that he took me down to the lake and baptized me, in essence, against my will. She's been coerced to do that. Now, the officer eventually moved for summary judgment on the grounds that because he did not violate any of her clearly established constitutional rights, qualified immunity insulated him from the 1983 claim. After she passed away, the administrator of her state was substituted as a real party in interest. The district court denied the motion as to those constitutional claims, finding that genuine fact disputes existed as to whether or not the officer violated her First and Fourth Amendment rights. So the man now appeals the district court's denial of qualified immunity from the unreasonable seizure and First Amendment claims. I've talked about this now twice recently, that if you've got a case where there are no factual disputes and that is called to the court's attention, the court can dismiss the claim or rule in favor of whoever's going to win on that, and so on. And so here, this court is saying there are factual disputes, which means this needs to go to a jury. Now, the court here says we ordinarily lack jurisdiction over appeals challenging the denial of summary judgment. We can hear interlocutory appeals of summary judgment orders denying qualified immunity. And then they get into a long discussion about what that means and what they can and cannot hear. And they finally come to the conclusion that the woman's claims are going to proceed. Now, it says here at bottom, the district court, considering the available record, concluded that genuine fact disputes existed as to whether or not the officer seized or coerced the driver through the baptism. The officer, by depicting the facts differently on appeal, disputes the district court's factual determinations for his qualified immunity defense, which are the exact disputes of material fact that the district court relied upon in denying the motion. Now, I'll grant you that this is actually a little bit of a confusing case, but the entire opinion is only 4 pages long. Okay, so it's a very short opinion from a court of appeals. But what the court appears to be saying is that there are factual disputes that must be resolved at the trial court level simply to determine what happened here. And it's possible that if the plaintiff proves their case the way they're pitching it and the way they say it happened, then qualified immunity would not be the case. However, if the police officer's version of the facts is accepted by the jury or the court, and that winds up being how the court rules, then qualified immunity might apply. And so the court here on appeal is saying we cannot make that determination yet because there are unresolved factual disputes at the trial court level which directly address the applicability of qualified immunity. So it very well could be that after all the facts come in, all the testimony is given, that the court might say, okay, based on what's in front of me here, qualified immunity does apply. But as of right now, the court at the trial court level says no, it doesn't apply. And the Court of Appeals on the interlocutory appeal is likewise saying it does not apply. So again, I've had people say, Steve, why do you repeat facts? Because I find them entertaining. That's why. Woman's driving down the road with dark tint and apparently some marijuana in her car. Cop pulls her over. Says, your window tint's too dark. And somewhere along the line, she says, by the way, there is some marijuana in my car. He says, get out of the car, handcuffs her, searches the car, confirms that, yes, there's some marijuana in the car, and the window tint might be too dark. They start discussing religion, and it sounds like he brought it up. And then, he says, have you been baptized? To which she apparently said, no, I have not been baptized. To which he said, tell you what, let me baptize you, and all I'll give you is a ticket for the window tint, but nothing for the marijuana. How's that sound? And I'll go to court for you if you want me to. I'll vouch for you. After all, you're a good church-going woman because you got baptized. I know. I was there. I did it. So she looks at this really strange situation from Let's Make a Deal and says, wait a second. I can get the marijuana and the window tint over here and go that route. Or I can get just the window tint and a baptism over here. What's the baptism going to cost me? And it turns out that the testimony was the lake water is very, very cold. Very, very cold. But they drove to a nearby cold lake where he baptized her and said, okay, here's the ticket for the window tint. Now, tell me that's not the strangest case you've heard of in a long, long time. And by the way, I will admit, this is not the worst thing I've ever heard an officer do where they claimed qualified immunity. Because we've heard about all kinds of stuff, them stealing stuff, them hurting people. You know, I'm talking about putting them in the hospital. And don't get me wrong, I wouldn't want to get baptized against my will either. But presumably once she dried off, she was probably okay, but there may have been some emotional aspect to this as well. But this is a really, really weird case. So Dan, because you sent it to me, it's now your job to follow this case and see if it ever gets resolved. Because as it's postured right now, the estate has a claim against the officer and the police department, and the officer has lost his qualified immunity, at least at the trial court level, but the trial has not taken place yet. Unfortunately, the woman who was involved in the case has passed away, but luckily she gave her testimony. So they can proceed with the case. It's simply her estate pursuing the claims. Another story altogether. So Dan, if you see an update, please pass it along. If I see the update, I'll pass it along as well. But this is one of the weirdest cases I've read in a long, long time. And it's called Bailey White versus Hamilton County. And it was literally filed yesterday from the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Sixth Circuit. Questions or comments, put them below. Let's talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. Sometimes all you need is a great friend and a tank of gas.